and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Welcome to episode 196, the Will I Ever Actually Get This Recorded episode. I don't think that's what I'm going to call it, but that's how I feel right now. I keep getting interrupted as I try to record. I don't have quilt diaries. This is my mistake. I should wait until I have a few seconds alone, which happens very rarely in the summer. But yeah, I should just like make everyone go away. They won't. They won't go away. And that's what happened today, is no one would go away, including my beloved Travis, who has kennel cough. And so I actually recorded a very brilliant 30 minutes. It was good. I didn't forget words, or if I forgot words, like key phrases, they came to me like within a couple of seconds. And it was beautiful. But then Travis would start coughing, and then I'd have to pause, and then I would lose my train of thought, and it would just on and on. So that didn't work. Anyway, this is episode 196. It is August 17th, 2016. I am sitting out on my front porch just so you can hear the bugs. It sounds kind of creepy. It's the bugs. It's the beetles marching toward us. No, it's cicadas in the trees. And they're quite fabulous. This is an interesting part of the summer for me. I hate summer, as you know, although I don't complain about the weather, and particularly not now, where in my neck of the woods here in central North Carolina, it's quite dry. In fact, it's a little bit too dry. Not that I would complain about that. But as we know, in Louisiana, down around Baton Rouge, it is flooding and people have lost their homes. So it just feels kind of, I don't know, uncharitable to say, yeah, it's a little hot, I'm unhappy, but I do feel unhappy for most of the summer. Now I'm sitting on my front porch, and I moved under the porch, but now there's an echo, but I feel like if I move from out from under my porch, then you get the full force of the bugs, and I don't want that to freak you out. All right, anywho, mid-August. I do like this about mid-August, because you do get the cicadas. And they go almost all day long. They're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. But it's kind of beautiful if you're used to their music. I suppose if you're not used to their music, that might freak you out. But I like it. And when I take Travis out for his walk in the morning now, it's just gorgeous. It's very green. It's very lush. In the morning, it's slightly cool. Not really, but 70 degrees or 77, quite frankly, feels quite cool right now, where the heat index, it's like 110. Not that I'm complaining. I'm really not. Anyway, how are you? I'm fine. I'm ready for my children to go back to school. Jack just left for a pool party tonight with some of his friends and their seniors, and he has to get a senior portrait taken here in a week or so, and then there's the senior challenge trip where they go off for 4 or 5 days, and he has been supposed to be training for this. I didn't really realize that, but it's a camp, hiking and camping trip, and they leave on Saturday morning and come back the following Thursday, which is really more than 4 or 5 days, right? But anyway, maybe it's 5 days. Anyway, is he training? No, he's done some weightlifting this summer, but he still needs to break in his hiking boots, which the man has gotten on him about. The man has some fairly extensive experience with hiking and camping. It's like, you really need to, at the very least, break in your boots. Anyway, I hope I'm not being overpowered by the cicadas. They're very powerful little creatures. It is August 17th. Next week, the boys go back to school. Jack starts his senior year. Will starts 8th grade. Jack is working on his Common App location. And I think he is, at this point, going to apply to Davidson College, which is a very small college in North Carolina. Early decision and UNC early application, and we'll see if he gets in. I kind of think he will get into Davidson. That's what his college counselor says. So fingers crossed. It's a small school. I think it would be a good school for him. But, yeah, we're on that road. The road of senior year. So I hope it's fun. I hope it is. I think he's excited about it. And if Jack's excited, it's all good. So where am I, you wonder, in my Birds in the Air project and just in my various quilting things, given that this is a quilting podcast and not an update on my family life or the bugs and wildlife and weather of North Carolina. Here's where I am. I have finished my latest installment in the Birds in the Air series. It's called Paper Birds in the Air. Go to my blog, theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. And you can see, I've posted on Instagram. When I post this podcast, I will post it on Twilters. If you want to be a Twilter, we have 200 Twilters now. It's a very active, a very fun group. You can join it by friending Twilter Gates on Facebook, and then you will be allowed admission. We'd love to have you there. It's, like I said, it's a great, active, very positive and supportive group. Anyway, so I will, when I post this, I will put my picture, my birds, my paper birds in the air top. Still not, haven't quilted anything yet, and I've been thinking a lot about that, but let me tell you first about my paper birds in the air top. Go look at it right now if you haven't seen it. I got the inspiration from House Beautiful magazine, which I love. I've talked about House Beautiful many times on this podcast because it's a really, it's good on color, it's good on textiles. And I think if you are, particularly if you are designing your own quilts and you're looking for inspiration, you can find it in House Beautiful. And as a matter of fact, that is where I found inspiration for Paper Birds in the Air. What it was an article about tiles and mosaic tiles. And there was a picture, which I will take a picture of and I'll post it on the blog, of mosaic tiles. Kind of grayish, whitish in nature, very pretty. And then on top, on the surface of the tiles, were red paper airplanes. And I saw that and I thought, birds in the air. Oh, that's great. That's a great way to interpret birds in the air. And so I originally, so what I did was I went online, I think I looked at, primarily looked at Fat Quarter Shop, but I think a couple of other places as well. Looking for background fabric that looked like mosaic tiles. And I found some, and I'm assuming I found it on Fat Quarter Shop. And I got it, but it wasn't so much gray as it was kind of tan, kind of, as Will would say, tannish. And very nice. I like it. It's a nice print. And I thought, well, this will work very nicely with red birds, right? And the thing about these birds is you see their motion, their flight pattern is indicated by short black lines. And in fact, when I did this quilt, which I just did, or the quilt top, I cut out black lines about between a half an inch to 3/4 of an inch long, a 1/4 of an inch to slightly more than 1/4 inch wide. And you just go dot, 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 and it follows the flight path, right? And there's a lot of loop-de-loops going on, and very fun. When the way I created the quilt is I put the backing fabric, not the backing fabric, the background fabric on my design wall. And then Will, actually my son Will, helped me by going, creating in Photoshop, or yeah, I think Photoshop, maybe not Photoshop. Something, but created some paper airplanes for me. I ended up just using one plane as opposed to variations of paper airplanes. And so I cut using what Will got for me and printed out for me. I cut out paper airplanes, in red, using very thin white strips to indicate the folds, and I started placing them on this kind of tannish mosaic background, and messing around with my flight pattern markers, the little red, the little black lines. But I knew, on the one hand, right away I knew, oh, this is going to work. This is very cute. And that was exciting for me, because sometimes you can have ideas and go, huh. You know, and in your mind they look great, and then you start actually trying to make them happen in real life, and it doesn't work. But this was working, except that I knew that tannish, beige-ish background fabric, it just wasn't right. And in fact, I took a picture and sent it to my friend Kristen, who we've been talking about lately because she has a new book out, So Illustrated, doing a giveaway. You've got till September 1st to comment and say, yes, I want this book, and you could win it. Anyway, so I sent her a picture. So what do you think? I'm not sure about the background. She's like, yeah, I think you want something more gray, which had been my thought as well. And then I had this great idea. Oh, I should get some newsprint fabric for the background, right? Because that's a thing now. There's newsprint fabric. I thought that would be kind of fun, particularly with the idea of the paper airplanes and the newspaper, which, because you could make paper airplanes out of newspaper. So I went to Thimble Pleasures, and this was last week. And they did have the newsprint fabric that I had actually seen online, looking around Fat Quarter Shop online. The only thing, my problem with the newsprint fabric that they carried that I also saw on Fat Quarter Shop is it's kind of like, it has all these kind of, instead of actually just someone took a picture of the front page of the New York Times or the Durham Herald Sun or whatever, it's kind of fake newsprint, and it has like feel good slogans on it, and I didn't want that. I felt that would be a distraction from the design of the quilt. So I kept looking around, and what I found, and this is a Robert Kaufman print, I cannot tell you what it's called because I'm sitting on my front porch with the cicadas, but it was perfect. So it's a sort of a news type print, maybe a courier print, right? It's all in French. I have no idea what it's saying. It could be saying the most obscene things in the world. We have no idea. I don't think it's saying obscene things, but it could be. But it doesn't matter. It's in French. I don't read French, so. But the print is blue. And the overall effect, and let me see, if I was going to give you a font type, I would say 16 or 18, right? So big enough that if you were up close, it'd be pretty big. But if you back away, like if you look at the picture on my blog post, you may not be able to tell that there's actually a tight print, that background fabric is actually a tight print fabric, because it kind of reads as a bluish, cloudy, white thing going on. I'm talking just like Will here. Bluish, whitish, cloudyish. But it does, so it's really cool, because it kind of looks like clouds, right? But if you get up close, it's print, which, you know, so it's neat, and it really totally works for me. And I think more so, I liked that newsprint idea, which is moving to the gray and also playing with the idea of paper, but this works even better. So I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased that it worked out. It was, in some ways, an easy top to do. So applique, right? I'm appliquing the paper airplane, the red paper airplanes. Actually, what I did first is, I laid it all out on the design wall. Once I had, the hardest thing was to do the black lines to indicate the flight pattern, to figure out how I wanted that to look. And I got some help from Kristen again. I hope I'm not calling Kirsten. One, because she's my good friend, and two, two, that's not her name, but my excuse would be I have a niece named Kirsten, and it's late. I'm a little sleepy. I already tried to record this podcast once. Did I tell you that? Yeah. And it was beautiful, and then we had, the kennel cough from Travis, and it was really distracting. I need everyone to go back to school, and I need Travis to get rid of his kennel cough in any event. Yes, so I did text Kristen and send pictures and say, what do you think about this particular loop-de-loop? And she's like, that one's not working, but that one is. So I got it worked out. And then once I had kind of everything laid out on the design wall, I then glued with Elmer's glue stick every little line. Every little line. Yes. It didn't take as long as I thought it would. I thought it was going to take a really long time. And it didn't. But it took a little while. And so, and then I went ahead. I had the birds on there. The paper airplanes. Or the paper birds, as we will call them. I had the paper birds up and pinned. But I thought the most important thing to do right away was to get the black lines, the flight lines, sewn on. So they were first blue-sticked on. And amazingly, once I took the fabric over to my sewing machine, the background fabric with the flight lines glue-sticked on, they, for the most part, stayed, which was very convenient. And then I appliqued them using... what do you call it? It's a clear thread, but we don't call that clear thread. We call it filament, I believe, and which I had no trouble with whatsoever. I think I have used filament once for quilting, and it was kind of a pain. It broke a lot. But with this kind of sewing, with the zigzag lines, it really was fine. I had no problem with it. And it didn't actually take that long. The only thing about doing this, and I did just, one of the reasons I did the clear filament as opposed to, say, black thread is because I didn't want to stop every 3/4 inch or 1/2 inch and then, you know, tie things off and move on to the next. So this allowed me to sew a continuous line. There are a couple places that are a little bit puckered as a result, but I'm hoping I'll be able to quilt those out. That is my hope. So I did that, and then this morning, it was last night, I appliqued on the birds and using the clear filament as well. So, and I think I like how it looks. I'm very pleased with it. I think because I had an inspiration, I had a picture to look at, I got to where I wanted to be a lot faster than if I had just... I don't know. I don't think I would have come up with the idea by myself. But I did see the picture in the magazine and go, oh, yeah. That's going to work. And it did. So I'm pleased. I don't know how I'm going to quilt it. But I think... I don't think it will be a complicated quilting. I think we're going to do a lot of simple, straightforward quilting. As I look forward to... look ahead to QuiltCon... And I believe the deadline is, November 30th for submitting pictures. You know, I think I will submit some quilts. And at that point, for instance, if I were to submit Modern Birds in the Air, I probably would redo the quilt. Now, I am going to do a second draft of the Bauhaus Birds in the Air. By the way, it was very interesting. So I put that picture up in the last episode show notes. And I heard from a lot of people who said, oh, I had a hard time picturing what you were talking about when you talked about this quilt. But now that I see it, I really like it. And that is, of course, all thanks to Adele, who designed a great pattern for that. But yeah, I'm going to redo that. In fact, I think I'm going to redo that next week. I actually ordered some fabric. And by the way, I did hear from some people. So we're talking about... There's just right now, there's a lot of chatter on the internet and quilting circles about what's going on with the quilting industry. And I think I linked to the Generation Q blog post in my last episode. And this episode show notes, I know I've linked already to the Weeks Ringle blog post that I believe was posted last week. That's interesting, talking about the industry. I'm sorry, I'm like tired. I feel like I'm slurring. Interesting industry. But anyway, but people commented on the last episode saying, you know, it's so important as the quilt industry kind of works itself out. It kind of reaches, I think what's happening is a kind of a settling down to the new level. There are people who are aging out of quilting because they have either kind of passed on or just getting to a place where they're not quilting as much. Things are going to shake out. In any event, I was encouraged to really shop locally for my fabric, which I try to do. Although I think Fat Quarter Shop, I don't feel like it's... Walmart, right? I don't know, but I should say I don't know a lot about it. I just know every time I order from Fat Quarter Shop, I get a very nice email from Kimberly. Is it Kimberly Jolly, who's the owner? So I do feel like I'm supporting something good. But yes, I actually agree. I do want my my brick and mortar quilt shops to remain. So, and what I had hoped to do was to go back to the Cary Quilting Company to buy my American-made brand fabrics to do a second draft of the Bauhaus Birds in the Air. But very wisely, if I do say so, because so often I'm not very wise, so I'm very proud of myself when I am. Today I went onto their site, and what I love that you can do is you can go onto the Cary Quilting Company site and fill up your shopping cart and say, I'm going to come pick this up. And they'll go ahead and cut the fabrics for you and have it all ready for you. And they did not have the orange I needed. They didn't have the American-made brand dark orange fabric. And I was like, you know, I really need that. I'm so glad I checked instead of driving over there. So I went ahead and did another Fat Quarter Shop order. But I will try to help. I will try to support the Cary Quilting Company. I think it's Quilting Company, as much as I can, and certainly Thimble Pleasures, which I have really forked over a lot of money to over the years, so feeling good about that. But yeah, these are interesting discussions we're having right now about the quilting industry and how do you support it, or, you know, and people have, so the comments for the week's Ringle blog post are quite interesting. And again, I have a link. Go look. Our own Lazy Daisy is a very vocal commenter over there, and partly because she has worked in a quilt shop, and has worked in a quilt shop that is now closing, and so she has a lot of opinions about what's happening in the quilt industry right now. But Weeks Ringle talks about supporting your local quilt shop, and there are people who get on there and like, you know what? I try to, but they're not, you know, I work full time, and this is true of like Thimble Pleasures. They close at 6, you know, so you can't go out over there after dinner. And on Sundays, they're like 1 to, I think they're open 1 to 5. And that's fine. I mean, they're doing what they have to do to survive. So I don't, as someone who has a lot of personal freedom in terms of like, I can pop over there first thing in the morning, or once I finish writing and have my lunch, I can go over to Thimble Pleasures on a Wednesday at 1 o'clock during the week. So I'm fine. But I'm sympathetic to people who are going, don't guilt me over the local quilt shop thing, because I work 9 to 5. And then I've got to pick up my kids from childcare, and I have a life, and their shop hours don't work for me. You know, so there's a lot of good talk, a lot of interesting talk. And it's hard. You know, as we have discussed on this podcast before, quilting is very expensive. It interests me that there's very little talk about how to do this less expensively. You don't hear much about people saying, yeah, well, you know what? I go to thrift stores and buy my fabric. I know people do, because I have been the very lucky recipient of fabric recently that was from a thrift store that a wonderful listener said, maybe this is the color we're looking for. It wasn't, but I used it for something else. Very exciting. But I do think that the industry is shifting. And as I think about these quilts, getting back to me, the most important me. Oh, okay, I'm sitting on the front porch. Can I just say, I see the man walking down to the street. That's fine. It's his yard. He's allowed to move around on the premises freely. But I'm like, can I just sit here and talk? No, I don't know what he's up to. I don't know if he's going around. Maybe to think about, he's been mowing the lawn. Bless his heart. It's so hot. It's so hot. No, he's going to take a walk. Oh, the bully. Bless his heart. I'm so sorry. No, he's stopping. What is he doing? He's walking. I don't know why he's walking. He just mowed the lawn. Okay, sorry, now I feel guilty. But no, I was feeling very frustrated earlier today when I was trying to record this, and Travis coming up with the kennel cough, and everyone just walking through the room, or, you know, just whatever. Go back to school, everyone. All right, where was I? Quilt industry. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think what I was roundabout getting to is there's not a lot of talk about thrift and quilting. And some of it, I don't know, and I've discussed this before because it interests me. You know, it seems like, I don't know, a lot of people are into making quilts very quickly. And you know what, to be honest, I have made some quilts very quickly in the last few weeks. I'm not necessarily against that. It was interesting to me that one of the comments on the Week's Ringle blog was basically, well, you know, I've been quilting for several years. I don't remember how many. But, you know, at this point, I just have too many quilts, and I don't really want to spend all that money on fabric and then give my quilts away to charity. So I'm not that, you know, it's sort of like, so I'm not going to quilt anymore. I'm like, okay, you know, and that's fine because that happens. You know, people get into stuff and then they move on to the next thing, and that's really cool. Some of us love quilts and, you know, we'll find all kinds of way to make quilts. But part of what she was, you know, it's like, it is expensive. Right? And then, you know, and I'm talking to someone, I don't have a stash because I'm cheap, because I don't like to shop, because, you know, a few times in my life I've gone into Thimble Pleasures and like, I'm going to buy a yard of some fabric I like. And I always end up buying a half yard because I'm cheap. I don't want to buy a whole yard. You know, yards is 12 bucks. What are you talking about? But I'll get a half a yard or something. And, you know, but I'm excited because I just remembered as I was thinking about these quilts that I've made all these tops. So now all I have left to finish is the Civil War Birds in the Air top. I have a lot of quilting to do. I think the quilting I'm going to do, at least on these drafts of the quilts, is going to be fairly simple and straightforward. But I was thinking, you know, I still have to buy backing fabric. And fortunately, most of the quilts are small. But still, you know, it's like that can be really, really expensive. But we have something here in Durham called the Scrap Exchange. It's very cool. It has all kinds of crafting and funky art supplies, and they sell fabric. And I remembered that today. I'm like, I could go to Craft Exchange, and I may be able to buy some really good backing fabric for a lot less. And that's what I'm going to do because I can't really afford to spend $300 on backing fabric right now. I just can't. I've got a kid who's about to go to college. I need to really think about this stuff. So when we have these conversations about the quilting industry, on the one hand, I really want to support my friends who are, for instance, publishing books, like my friend Kristen, whose book, So Illustrated, I love and think is a darling, and I think you would love it too. I think you should get it. Or my girl Krista Watson, who's doing books on machine quilting that I find really, really helpful. And Angela Walters, who's also doing these books and has done a book with Krista that are very educational to me and I like. So I want to, but I really want to support Krista and I really want to support Kristen and what they're doing because I think it's super cool. But that seems different to me than going, oh, you know, I keep saying Tallulah Pink. I really want to say Tallulah Pink. Tula Pink has some new fabric. I'm going to go buy, you know, a yard from each bolt of her new line. And I'm like, but I don't, I mean, I like her stuff. I think Tula Pink is very cool and I like what she's doing. So it's not that. But I don't, you know, one, I really reject the whole celebrity and quilting thing that I think we've got going on right now. I find it just uninteresting. Maybe if I were younger, I would be more caught up in it. But I'm not younger. I'm 52. And I'm just like, I want to create community. I don't want to create more celebrities or more stars or more people to envy. You know, I just don't. I want to support the people who I like. I want to support my friends in whatever way that I can. That's my goal. Yeah, so if, you know, if quilt shops stop caring less of Tula Pink, if Tula Pink cannot continue in her industry, you know, her empire, on the one hand, that's too bad because she's a really creative, talented person, and you know, I'm all for her success. On the other hand, it doesn't actually make much difference to me as a quilter, right? Because I don't go out and buy fabric that way, and if I go over to Scrap Exchange tomorrow and find lots of really cool fabric, maybe that'll be where I shop. I'll still go to Thimble Pleasures, and I'll still want my American-made brand solid. So I'll go over to Carrie quilting company and order from Fat Quarter Shop. But yeah, I want to make quilts. I want to make art. Not necessarily art quilts, but I really enjoyed this process of making these birds in the air, the series of quilts, and playing with the theme. And they're not brilliant quilts. I didn't design all of them. One is another person's design. The Bauhaus Birds in the Air is not, you know, there are a couple of things like Bauhaus Birds in the Air. I saw a poster online and I sent that image to Adele and she made it into a pattern. So I'm not saying, well, here I am, a brilliant artist. It's like, no, I mean, this is actually, to me, what's exciting about doing this is taking inspiration, saying, oh, I really like that image. Being careful. There's some recent stuff about copyright coming back up again. The Modern Quilt Guild did a blog post. If you get the, is it Abby, I want to say Abby Glassman, but I think that's wrong. Abby Glassenberg. While she's napping, the person who hosts that and does a fabulous newsletter that I would highly recommend you subscribe to. Yeah, she had, and I'll try to remember. If I remember, I will post the link. She had a link today to someone's blog about copyright and how this person felt like she had actually violated copyright and felt very badly about it and got in touch with the person whose image she had copied, had kind of used as an inspiration. And that is the hard thing. It's like, is it inspiration or is it copying? I'm rambling now, kind of getting off, but off track. I am using inspiration. I think to look at mosaic tiles and go, oh, I'd like to make a quilt. I don't really feel like I'm stealing from somebody. That maybe I am. If you think I am, let me know. Although I have no idea how I would find out who designed that mosaic tile, or if they would care that I made a quilt based on it. In any event, but it's been really, really fun to do that, and it has nothing to do with name brand fabric designers, because I don't really care. I just need the colors that I need and the prints that I need. I want, on the one hand, it's like, I don't know, quilting industry seems kind of weird, doesn't it? That's a weird phrase, I think, quilting industry. It doesn't seem like an industry. It's like, I just want to make quilts. I'm very happy for people who want to make money doing this as teachers, as designers, as whatevers. Those of us who maybe want to make some money as quilt novelists, right? I mean, yeah, I'm happy. I don't begrudge anyone having a good time and making some money doing this, whether they're designing quilts and publishing books or selling quilts or what have you. But I assume if the quilt industry goes under again, and I will be sad for my friends who lose jobs here locally or don't sell books. There was something I read just the other day about someone who had just published a book with AQS, and now they're like, they don't know if they're going to see any money on it. Man, I'm so glad that didn't work out for me. But yeah, because that would be really hard if you already were contracted with them and they've got a warehouse full of your books and they're trying to get rid of them. That's a drag. So I don't want to see people hurt. I don't want to sound cavalier. But the fact is that those of us who really love to quilt will continue to make quilts and we'll find fabric to do it. And if the fabric at Thimble Pleasures is too expensive, and it's getting pretty dang expensive, we'll go to scrap exchange or thrift shops and we'll find our fabric and we'll figure out how to make the quilts that we want to make. So, and that is what I'm doing. And I don't know what else to tell you. My book, this is a switch. I've been pleased. I have sent Birds in the Air out to some bloggers who have fairly good followings, and some quilt bloggers, although as we know now that even quilt Instagram is really eating up blogs, is really taking over blogging, which is too bad, because I love reading what people have to say about quilting. I do like blogs that are actually more text heavy than picture heavy. I don't need to see yet another tutorial about how to do a pinwheel block. I think I've got that covered. Obviously, if you don't have it covered, then that's a really useful thing. But I like to read about people's experiences as quilters and creators. I sent some books out and have had really great feedback. Have sent Birds in the Air out to several bloggers who I didn't know. I just approached them cold and said, would you be interested in reading this and reviewing it if you like it? And they said, yeah. and have gotten very positive feedback, so that pleases me a great deal. And my children's book, Writing Life, I have a new book out at the end of the summer, Sam the Man and the Chicken Plan. It comes out on the 30th, and it is getting good reviews in the press, so that's very nice, like School Library Journal and Hornbook and Publishers Weekly, so that's really lovely. I have been reading a lot. I'll try to remember to put in the show notes the books I've been reading. I read a book. Is it Emma Staub or Emma Straub? I can't remember which. She wrote The Vacationers, which I started and did not finish because I found all her characters unlikable. But for some reason, decided to read her book Modern Lovers, which I liked better because only half of the characters are unlikable. It's set in Brooklyn. I like reading contemporary novels that are kind of looking at how people live now, and I liked the fact the characters were in their late 40s, and, you know, I'm 52, so it's kind of, you know, and their kids were kind of getting close to going to college, so I felt like, you know, I had something in common with these characters, especially the likable ones. So I enjoyed it. I would not recommend you run out to the bookstore and buy it, but if you put it on hold in the library, if you like reading, again, contemporary fiction set in Brooklyn, of course, every book is set in Brooklyn now, that has at least two likable characters, that's funny and that takes a look at contemporary social mores, you could do worse, you know. So I didn't think it was a brilliant piece of work, but it was entertaining. And I just finished a book called We Could Be Beautiful by Swan something, and I don't have it here, and if I go inside, Travis will start coughing his kennel cough, so I'm not going to do that. I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes, which I started, I think I started it yesterday morning, so it was a fast read, and I liked it. The main character is 40, let's say she's 43, my neighbors are out with a happy baby, I guess. I don't know who my neighbors are anymore. Okay, the house to my left, I'm facing the street, the house to my left is a rental property, and for the last couple of years there's been a very lovely couple with a young child, I'm going to say Trent, who was one when they moved in, and then they had a baby. I don't know if it's still them or if they've moved. We can't figure it out. So I don't know what's going on anyway, except that they could be a squealing baby, could be the baby they had a few months ago. I just don't know. In any event, I read about We Could Be Beautiful in the New York Times Book Review Sunday. I put it on hold at my library. It was ready Monday, so I picked it up, and it's fun. So the main character is Catherine. She's 43. She's incredibly wealthy. A trust fund baby, has $80,000 deposited into her bank account every month. Excuse me. So she's got lots and lots of money. Doesn't have to work, although she has a stationery shop in which she sells cards, blank cards, but with the art by artists she really loves. And she meets this wonderful man named William, who's just too good to be true. And, of course, it turns out he's too good to be true. Not to spoil it, but I think that's even on the copy flap, or flap copy. And it was fun because, you know, she's very rich. She's kind of funny, and she has some self-knowledge, but not entirely. So there's sort of the funny, where it's funny in the way that she sees kind of how her life is a little bit lame, and it's also funny in the way she doesn't see that, and it's fun because she's very wealthy, so she gets to buy lots of stuff, but it's not like Judith Krantz kind of thing. It's not that kind of wealth. It's not diamonds and what have you. Anyway, I enjoyed it. Again, not a book that I would say run out to the bookstore and buy it this very minute. It's more like get it from the library. It's enjoyable. It's a fairly quick read, but the writing is good. And that's the thing. I'm just like, I'm so happy when the writing is good. I'm like, read this book. She can write a sentence. It's so cool. So I have been reading a lot and writing a little bit. I'm waiting for the boys to go back to school so I can get back into my routine. The man has been working at home a lot, in part for various reasons that are not all that interesting. His mom is doing okay, declining a little bit, I fear. We're hoping to get her home, and then my brother-in-law and sister-in-law will care for her, and we can, and, you know, we're hoping that they can do that's sustainable. It may not be. They want to do it. We want them to do it. it may be a harder job than it appears to be. So anyway, it's just, you know, it's like, again, being middle-aged and you go out and say, yeah, my mother-in-law had a stroke. And if you say that to another middle-aged woman, she'll say, oh, yeah, my father-in-law, so-and-so. And then all of a sudden you're just into this whole story of taking care of people and your kids going to college and, you know, your mother, you know, all that. It's just where we are. It's just where we are in life. So I think that is it for now. I hope this wasn't too rambly. I hope it made sense. I'm excited, again, about this series of quilts, and I'm thinking about how to quilt them. One of the things I want to start doing tonight when I go back in with my coughing dog is to actually start basting together some batting, because I have a lot of batting. And again, I'm a little feeling... One of the things about when you take the approach to quilts that you're going to do drafts of your tops, that's great because it allows you to kind of relax about it. But it does get a little bit expensive when you're buying more fabric, more yardage to do the second draft. So I am looking for other ways to economize. Is that right? Do you say economize? I want to say like economize. No, economize. You know, I do, because after all, it can be a very expensive proposition, and that's something that we don't talk a lot about in quilting, how dang expensive it is. And again, you know, if you go to to the traditional guild that I sometimes go to, it's mostly gray hairs. I'd be gray-haired if I didn't color my hair. And so it's people who are, you know, at a point in their career where they've got some money. Maybe their kids are through college and what have you, and they've got a little extra money to spend, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I think one of the things for a lot of us is finding how can we quilt a little, how can we make quilting a little less expensive? Again, it's easier for someone like me who just has no interest in buying random fabric. But harder, I think, if you feel the need to really keep up with the latest designers and what's going on. But yeah, so now I don't remember now. Where was I going? I don't know where I was going. I think I'm going inside to watch the Olympics. We have been watching the Olympics. We of course love the American women gymnasts. Oh, we love all the gymnasts. They're great, but that team is special, and that's been quite lovely to watch all of them compete and do brilliantly. And you know, Lori Hernandez, has there been a cuter gymnast? Just one who just radiates more joy? I don't know. What I do know is watching the gymnastics and the swimming and even the track, what's fascinating to me is the athletes are crying a lot more than they used to, which makes me cry. You know, I can be very stoic until someone else starts crying, and then I start crying. And I think it's lovely. I think it's lovely how the gym... All the athletes are very... They're very respectful of one another for the most part. And they congratulate each other. And the gymnasts hug each other. And there's... You know, the girls are all... the little tiny, you know, girly hugs. Although sometimes you see a hug of genuine warmth. A real embrace. And that's always lovely. But yeah, but I do see a lot of crying. I feel very teary-eyed through a lot of it. And I think it's just we're all so upset right now. It just feels like it's a difficult time in the history of the world. I know that actually, comparatively speaking, it's not. And you may be a huge Donald Trump fan. I'm not. I don't think he signals good things for this country. I want him to go away. I think he will go away. But it does feel like, it feels apocalyptic a little bit to be dealing with someone like him. I don't talk about politics. I don't think there's a need to talk about politics. I'm fairly moderate in my politics. So I don't hate Republicans. I don't hate Democrats. I'm kind of open to the good guys wherever they show up. And I don't think he's one. And I think it's been upsetting. I think the very shootings of young black men, the shootings of police officers, it's very upsetting. And I think we just all want something really beautiful and something good. And you watch these young athletes who have worked so hard, and when they win, you just feel like that's good. And when they cry, you cry, because you just, yeah, it's like, it's been upsetting. It's been an upsetting time. And so when you see something good, it just breaks something open in you. So anyway, we've enjoyed that, and I'm really, you know, it's funny, I wasn't actually looking forward to these Olympics, but now I'm really sad that they're about to end. So I hope you are having a good middle of August, and if you've got kids going back to school, I hope they have a great start to the school year and that you have a great time getting ready. This is one of my favorite times of year. As much as I'm not crazy about the heat, it is for me the new year, and I get very organized, and I actually dust, you know, and get rid of clothes and take stuff to Goodwill, and it really, I really do enjoy the kind of energy that comes this time of year. So I hope you're enjoying that as well and making wonderful quilts that make you happy. And don't forget, by the way, to comment on this episode. I got a lot of comments on this past episode because many of you are interested in getting So Illustrated, my friend Kristen's book. And please continue to comment up until September 1st on this episode or any episode, and just to say hi, to let me know what you think of the quilts. And if you want a copy of Kristen's book, just say, yeah, I'd really like a copy of that book. And hopefully you will be a winner. I hope so. Fingers crossed. But do comment. Do let me hear from you. I love hearing from you. You can always email me at fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L. The first name is Francis with an E. At nc.rr.com. I love hearing from you. I know a lot of you comment in your heads, and I hear those comments too. We are psychically connected, and it's a beautiful thing. All right, I'll be back soon. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.